Welcome to TJH, your go-to podcast for all things journeying home to yourself. I'm your host, Hayley Curtis, Jean Keys and Women's Transformation Guide, here to encourage and usher you into remembering who you are by peeling back the veil on all things shadow work, self-love, self-worth, relationships, Jean Keys, breakthrough, awakening, and so much more. One thing I know to be true about you is that you are utterly magnificent. And here at the Journey Home podcast, I will be walking hand in hand with you as you discover and remember your magic. Let the voyage begin.
What I absolutely love about this Jean Key is the gift of authority. Now, I'll be honest, it scared the bejesus out of me the first time I looked at it, because I was like, be an authority? I don't have the authority to be an authority. But as I've dived deeper and dug more in it, I'm realizing how bloody awesome it is. I mean, it is just amazing. And that thing that Richard says, you know, that the challenge for every human being is to find their true inner authority.
Yeah.
It's just like,
And
the fact that the word authority has the word author in it. I mean, that just blew me away. I had never thought of that. 60
me
years
either.
Old, and it had never occurred to me that that was in there. Even when I looked at the Jean Key at first, it didn't even occur to me. And as a lover of words, that just spoke to my heart.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask you, this is one of my favorite questions that you asked me, and I would like to ask you, what is the story that you are here to tell?
Oh.
What voice wants to emerge from your depths?
Oh my gosh.
To lead others out of the darkness.
Oh, yes. I mean, this word authority, for me, when I realized and Richard said, like, it has the word author in it, what story do you want to tell? I was like, Richard, you're killing me. Oh, God. And to reframe authority like that, like, to be an authority is just to be the author of your life. And so what story do I want to tell? How do I want to lead people out of the darkness? I really want to write the story of the revolution. And I guess that is my Radiance Jean Key. I want to write the story where people return home.
Yeah.
Like, that is the story. And it is the story. You know, it is the story of being a human. And even if we look at all of our famous novels and movies and everything, that's sort of the theme, right? The whole idea of a story having like a beginning, a middle, and an end, where you have like the climax and you've got the problem and the resolution. It's just to lose your way and then find your way home again. It is the archetypal human journey. And I would love to write a story with my own life that brings more people on that journey. It's all that matters to me almost. It's weird. It's consuming, but in the most beautiful way. I'm not stressed about that story. I'm not like, oh no, like, people are lost and I need to help them come home. Like, not at all, because I completely trust in everyone's genius that we're all going to find everyone's going to find their way, whether I'm part of their life or not. Like, I don't think that I need to write the story for them, but I would love to make my story so potent and so full of light that I literally become the lantern in that darkness.
Yes.
And I would love to see my story being that, where when you're in the caverns, the deep, dark caverns that you're trying to navigate, and you've just got like a little like lighter or like matches and you're petrified and you're scared at every turn, that maybe our stories cross. And as you cross with mine, you find this huge lantern that literally lights the way. And now you feel not only safe to take that journey, but it suddenly becomes full of laughter and lightheartedness, and just you find so much joy and purpose in that journey instead of it just being the archetypal struggle of the human, because that's what it can be. It's that story, but it can be the struggle. I would love to, yeah, write that story of it being the liberation, the triumph, the, oh my God, this is what I came here to do. But I fully understand that I can only be a part of that story for others if I fully am in my own story. And so for me, the most important thing isn't how can I help others? How can I help others? The most important thing is how can I just be my own light and shine so brightly in my own life that other people find it if it's what is meant for them. And so, you know, I'm only concerned with my own story, but in a very service-based way, if that makes sense. Like, because I know, like, I can't go and write anyone else's story. I can only write my own.
I that's interesting that you said that, because I just the other day when I said in my Voxer to you, I feel like you're the torchbearer, and that is what you are. You know, you're not telling me or any of the women that you work with, you're not telling us what we should do or what we shouldn't do or what path we should be taking. You're just like, here I am, I've got my torch, I'm lighting the way, it's not scary. You can walk this way, you can walk your path, and it's not scary. Because you're there and that light up.
Just the torchbearer. I'm not the map. I'm not going to write your map for you. Your gene keys are your map. Like, I'm not here to tell you who you are. I'm not the worth. I'm not the anything. I'm just the torchbearer.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I was writing about this for myself, I mean, my story's a really simple one. I'm a really simple person. It's not like wild adventures. But what I realized when I was digging into this is that the inner work that I'm doing, that's the wild adventure I'm having, because it's vast and it's limitless. And you know, my story can be as vast and as limitless as that love that I'm feeling inside myself.
Yeah.
And I love that you're there holding the torch, so that when I'm in that vast, limitless space, it's not all dark and I don't have to be completely terrified the entire time.
Oh, and I love being there. Like, I just love, and I think this is when you're in your genius. Like, I can't not do that. You know, I just love it so much. I just love it so, so much that I was on a Zoom call today and someone asked me, like, what is it that you love most about what you do? And I said, I think what I love most about what I do is that if I won $100 million in the lottery tonight, tomorrow morning I'd be getting up doing the exact same thing that I did today, because I can't not, because this is who I am.
Yeah, like, it does shine out of you, Hayley. Your light does shine out of you, and your enthusiasm, and your humor and your laughter, and you make it not a scary place for other women.
And same for you. And you're exactly the same. You're the sword bearer. You know, you would call me the torch bearer. I see you as the sword bearer. Like, you have that next layer of, like, I have walked. Like, I don't want to use that word. Hang on. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it. It's nice. What I'm thinking is nice. It's not mean. But, like, I almost see you like the haggard warrior. Not haggard in a way of, like, I'm all, like, old and crusty, but you have been standing there with your sword of valor for eons and you're still fucking there. Like, I see you as the sword bearer. Like, you bring this fire of, like, man, yeah, I can fucking do it. And I do that in a very different way to how you do that. Yeah. I spark enthusiasm and excitement and laughter. You spark, like, I am going to fucking stand up for myself. Enough's enough. I'm going to dig in. I'm enough. Like, you give that flavor. And it's your perseverance gene key coming through there, right? Yeah. That's your evolution coming through there. And so, and that's both of us standing in the same realm of being there to encourage women in this journey in two completely different ways with two completely different geniuses that are just perfection.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you have you watched Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm. About six times through.
I mean, there are so many characters that I absolutely love in Game of Thrones, but the one that I really resonate with is Brienne of Tarth.
Oh, I was about to say, is it Brienne?
She keeps on fucking going.
Yes.
And she gets beaten down and she still picks her sword up and she just keeps going. Mm. But she's always fighting the good fight, you know. She's always standing up for the underdog, and I love that.
I love the emotion that comes through when you talk about what's so important to you, and that is, yeah, and that's where, when I called you haggard, it's not in me, it's like the ultimate compliment, because it's from fighting the good fight, you know.
Oh, and I want, as what, you know, the telling my story is about telling other women that you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can you can stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And because we can all be, I think one of the quotes that I shared in our month of self-love was about being your own hero. Be the hero in your own story. You don't need anyone else to fix you, you know. You can pick that sword up and be your own hero.
I think one of the beautiful things about authority is that as we become courageous enough to tell like your own story, what you're actually telling is our story. Yeah. It's our story. It's the human story. It's the story of the woman. It's, you know. But we can only ever take full responsibility and ownership over our story. But it's for all of us.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I had another question. Have we got time for me to ask?
Sure.
Yeah. So it kind of leads on from this, because you said to me that, you know, coming out of that shadow of that feeling of being controlled, or the feeling of needing to be in control, that's when we emerge, you know, that's where the light of our own inner authority emerges from. Mm-hmm. And authority comes from openness, you know, an open mind, but an open heart. And that openness is willing to relinquish control.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what for you, why does it take openness and an open heart to transcend that control? Why do we need that open heart?
Yeah, you can't control your way to authority. Not true authority, not the gift of authority. What we see in our world as like authoritarian is actually just the shadow of control, right? That's not a gift, that's a shadow. So authority, the way I sort of visualize this, like if control was like this big cloak you were wearing, like armor. So you were wearing all of this armor and it was the control because you didn't feel safe. And so it's like, okay, I've got to be wearing all of this armor and trying to be who I'm meant to be. But who you're meant to be is like this light that wants to beam out, but the armor is covering the light. And so no matter how hard you try, I just can't seem to access it. So you have to be willing to take the armor off for the light to beam out. But then, of course, oh my gosh, I've taken my armor off now. What if I get hit by the arrows? But you had to take the armor off to realize that that light is your ultimate protector, and that when the arrows come at you with the light, they can't touch you. And so you were getting more hurt by wearing your armor than taking it off, right?
Yeah.
And so it's only with an open heart, it's only with being willing to let go of control does your true authority have space to rise, because it must rise from love. And as long as you're controlling everything, that's coming from a place of loathing. It's coming from a place of inadequacy. So you're never going to access the trueness of your gifts, which can only come when you're in attunement with your heart. You'll also never be able to access the loyalty. So there's something else about this gift of authority. It creates loyalty, which is, you can't create loyalty out of controlling people. You think you are because you've made everyone so scared. This is the same with Gene Key 45. You've scared people into obeying you, but the first chance they have to turn the other way, they will. Right? We're lying to ourselves if we think we have any kind of authority. We just have created fear in people. True authority happens within, and then the people around you, because of your light, they naturally choose you as their leader. That's authority. When you've been chosen as a leader, not because you decided that you needed to and now I'm going to make everyone fear me and da 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 da. And that can only come from your own openness at first. And so that's where it says, in order to have true authority, you must be willing to let go of all control. In order to be a true authority of other people in leadership, you've got to be willing to not be the leader. Because it's actually that open-heartedness that will see you rise to the top, not the top of a hierarchy, but in a leadership position. Because with the Shinky, you are, there is a lot of leadership in you. And you, Lizzie, you've got leadership as your vocation. You're very leadership type. But yet it comes from letting go of the control, which we really start to see in our lives when we start to do it. It's like, whoa, because then people trust you and they can see your light and they can see how you've got this authority in your own life and you're blazing away and you're writing your story and it looks like you're in control of your life, but it's because you let go of control that you're actually in control. You've taken the driver's seat.
What I realized when I was digging into this, I realized that having that open heart means that the control part doesn't exist anymore. That grasping at control, and you're not even having to consciously think about, right, now I'm going to relinquish control. It just kind of melts away. I think the heat of your open heart just melts it all away. That was a really lovely thing to, it's a nice thing to sit with and contemplate.
Yeah.
What it's like.
Yeah, but you have to open first. That's like what I said, the gene key of today on my gene key series was 48, the programming partner.
Yes,
and I said the problem with this, though, is you have to dive in first before you know it's going to work. And that's the real scary thing about the control and inadequacy. You've got to believe that you'll be okay enough to take the dive, to let go of the control, to allow the authority rise through. Because if you never take that step, if you never take that jump, you'll never actually access it. And so, you know, that's no easy thing to do. So it takes time.
That's that leap of faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just diving into that deep, dark well.
Or into the waterfall like Richard Rudd did.
Oh, I know. I was just going to say that. I absolutely love that story that he tells about diving in. I mean, I've done that. I've dived into wet, you know, into pools below waterfalls, but never in the dark.
Yeah. And in the middle of in the winter in bloody Scotland.
I know. The man is mad. So I've got one last question.
Okay, perfect.
Which is kind of it's a serious question, but it's also a little bit of fun because you talk about how our destiny and our dharma are permanently calling out this nobility of spirit in us to shine forth. And you invited me in my journaling and my contemplation to tune into that nobility of spirit within myself. And you asked me, does it have a colour? Does it have a scent? Does it have a voice or a feeling? So I would love to know what your nobility of spirit tastes and smells and sounds and feels like.
Yeah, wow. Oh, but first, what colour was yours?
Mine is blue. It's this like really iridescent. It's a sort of like an iridescent turquoise blue. There's a South American butterfly called a blue morpho, which is just the most incredible. You just think, how does nature come up with these colors? Because it's the most incredible turquoise blue. It's just so beautiful, and they're huge as well. So that's the color of mine.
Oh, I love that. Oh, every time I think of you, I think of blue. And I've even got my turtle that you gave me around my neck, and it's blue. So I've always got my Lizzie there with me. Oh, so amazing. Well, I've never thought about this before, but as I think about it right now, I feel like mine's golden light. Like it's golden light. And I guess it's probably the lantern. You know, it's the lantern. It's that light. And I feel like it's like a battle cry. It's the sound. I had this vision once years ago. Oh, I think I've even shared it with you before, maybe even on a podcast. But I was listening to this song and it said, this is my battle cry. I'm taking back my life. That was like, and it was saying that over and over. And as I was singing, I just saw myself with a sword standing like on a cliff face, like up, and I had like this whole army with me, and just like, and it was like this battle cry, and it just moved me so deeply. And I feel like that's what it would be, you know. It's, and it moves across the land. It travels long distances. It's like, I feel like that would be my nobility.
Amazing.
And there can be a part of me that's like, Hayley, like, that's a pretty big way to explain it. Make it smaller, be more humble. But that's that inadequacy, which is the programming part in here. And I don't even have this in my profile, but I have it in my DNA like we all do. And we can see how it's like, ooh. But are you enough to be that woman with the sword standing on the cliff face with an army with a battle cry that reaches across countries? Yes. We all are.
Yeah.
We all are.
For me, the sound of mine would be the sound of a whale's song, which is just, I think, and the whale is the animal of my purpose key, isn't it?
It is. It's 48. So, it's resourcefulness.
I remember reading about how whales, before the advent of mechanical ships and engines. Like a whale song could travel around the world, you know, travel the vibration of it through the water could just travel and travel and travel. And I feel a bit like that's what it's my sound, my song. It's really deep, but it comes out in the vibration. People can feel it in
it's
the
like
vibration.
Guttural, you know? Yeah. And isn't it said that, that the whales, as they swim around the earth and sing their song, it is bringing balance and harmony and like bringing that shaman resonance back into balance? Like, and yeah, it can be, it's such a huge, massive animal, but it can be so under the radar. Sometimes you wouldn't even know it was there.
I know.
Oh, I love that. Oh, how delicious. Oh, maybe I can ride on the whale's back with my with my big battle cry, have my hair and all my braids and, you know, Viking style. Oh my gosh, so good. So good. I totally feel that energy with you and I. It's like a pair of warriors.
Yeah.
You know, with each of my fairy crow mothers, I see it in a different way. I see Megan and I as children. We're like in a child. We're riding on our camels and just like playing and that kind of thing. With Debbie, I see her as this mother figure and I'm like to snuggle in. And with you and I see us like on our horses with our swords, like, you know, fighting the good fight.
Riding into battle.
Yes, but I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's the thing about this valor, your sword of valor. You don't use it to slice and dice. It's just there and you keep sharpening it, but it's the sword itself. It's like it's the symbol of valor. It's not to fight. It's
like
to...
Excalibur.
Yes. I love that. You know the song Excalibur in high school? My friend and I, we made a dance to it and we performed it in front of the assembly. Like the ha 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 ha. I still remember the dance. It's hilarious.
Excellent. You need to make a reel of that dance.
I can still remember. How embarrassing. I can't believe I had such confidence. I mean, back then, I was dancing in front of hundreds of people at a school assembly. Now I put stupid reels of myself out for the whole world to see of me dancing. So I guess it's not that much different.
No.
Born for the stage.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I really felt that watching all of your reels on the 64 Jinkies, Days of Jinkies. It's just like, it's so fun.
Oh, I'm so sad that there's not much time
left.
I'm
really... serious, you know, deep jinkies, but you bring such light and fun and energy to them.
It's the torchbearer.
Yeah.
Only 15 days left. I'm so sad. What am I going to do?
What you need to do next is you need to go back to the beginning and you need to do the animals. Then you'll have 192 reels.
Oh my God, 192 days, do all the animals. Holy shit, that'd be so cool. I mean, I've got ideas. I totally have ideas of what I might do next. I definitely feel like I need to do a series of, okay, I've shown you all the jinkies. What the fuck do you do with them? Yeah. You know, practical ways to use jinkos in your life. How can I add dance moves to that? Gonna have to think on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you touched on that right at the beginning of us talking today. It's about integrating them into your everyday life.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where the real power in them is. It's not just in the breakthroughs you have when you're contemplating them. That's amazing. And that's, I mean, who doesn't love an epiphany and a, oh my God, holy shit moment.
Yeah.
But it's how you bring them into everyday life, every step.
That's where the real work begins, right? Yeah. And I love how today's conversation has been around that. You know, we're not just having philosophy on control and authority. We're like, no, what does this look like in your life? You know, and we are so capable of being able to do this. And there is so much bliss available in this gene key, and you can release so much stress and tension through gene key 21, because the amount of pressure that shadow of control will hold is immense. And so for you, Lizzie, it's your radiance. So yes, it's this huge portal into releasing that. But for all of us, it is.
Yeah.
For everyone. And so I hope that for everyone listening to this episode, that you feel really intrigued and curious about this Gene Key 21. And, you know, go and read it in the book. Go and listen to Richard's audio about it. But just go and look at your own life. And go and look at these ideas of these territories, and this look at like, okay, how am I all or nothing? Or like, what am I trying to control in my environment? And how is it linked to inadequacy? Like, I feel like we have sort of left you with lots of little nuggets that you could go and contemplate and just start to see how this is moving, because this is how you peel this stuff back. You just witness it in your own life without trying to change a thing. Without thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a control freak, this is wrong, I need to fix it. Nah, you don't have to fix shit. It's just about looking at it with eyes of love and being like, it's okay. It's okay that I'm controlling. I'm safe to be right here. Let me just witness it and see it playing out. And that will naturally invite you on that journey of authority. It will naturally invite you on that journey of like, okay, I do want to write the story that I dream of. And I'm completely capable of doing that. That naturally emerges when you're just willing to look at the shadow.
Yeah.
And so that's our invitation to you today, beautiful people who are listening. But thank you so much, Lizzie, for incredible questions. What a beautiful conversation. And I love getting to witness you on this journey and getting to see your willingness and open-heartedness in being able to start releasing some of these controls and these safety mechanisms that you've had in place for decades, that could be so easy to be like, I'm not going there. But you've just been so willing to go there. And as a result, we all get to experience more of your light. And for that, I'm very, very grateful.
Oh, well, I'm very grateful to you too, Hayley, for holding up that torch, shining the light, showing me the way.
Oh, I'll always be there. Once I die, that will be my legacy. I'll be a statue, you know, a statue that holds the torch.
Yeah.
I'll happily be that, you know. Oh, so good. Well, I will let you begin your lovely day as I wind down for the end of mine. And I can't wait to have you back to chat about the next gene key, you know, can't wait.
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to be a juicy one.
Oh, hot damn. It sure is. We're going to have to get our tissues ready for that one.
Yeah, I will have my box of tissues. <by side. laughs>
Oh, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We'll speak to you very soon. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is such an honor to bring my heart directly to your ears. The TJH podcast is in her early days, so if you could take a quick moment to leave a rating on Spotify or write a review on Apple Podcasts, I would be extremely grateful. And if you enjoyed the episode, I encourage you to share it with a friend to help spread the Journey Home message far and wide across the globe. I deeply appreciate you, and I will chat to you again very soon.